Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number two. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. I'm Jim Galante. And Dustin, it's midway in the season. We're coming off a bye. What better time to take that midseason review? And as always, let's start with the offense. And as always, when you're starting with the offense, you got to start at quarterback. And until that period in the second quarter, Sean Clifford goes down. Until then, I would say quarterback gets essentially an A. Sean Clifford was very good this year. Seemed like the marriage with Mike Yurcich was fantastic. Then we have Sean Clifford knocked out of the game against Iowa. Taequann Roberson was not ready, was he?
It looks like really that Penn State and James Franklin, they put a lot into making sure that Sean Clifford had every rep he needed to be the quarterback they needed him to be. Maybe with the thinking that not much is going to happen no matter what you do with Taequann Roberson, your goals probably are off the table if Sean Clifford gets injured anyway. So, you know, but I think underinvestment in Taequann Roberson was a thing, probably by design. I don't know that it was a blind spot by anybody, but it was just understandably, you know, you develop championship aspirations and Sean Clifford looked to be the guy who could maybe help lead them there. So they put everything into him. And, you know, for the better part of 3 years, I think we've seen Taequann Roberson not get enough work in games and certainly looks like behind the scenes in practice, not get enough reps there to really make strides as a player and be able to process what he's seeing in the heat of a game against a really good team on the road with a loud crowd. You know, he was not ready for that. I think going back to previously, you know, Sean Clifford has made a ton of progress under Mike Yurcich. And I think that's why he's here in the first place, is that his day-to-day, minute-to-minute coaching has helped, you know, Sean Clifford really realize a lot of the potential that he has. So I think a lot of credit goes to both of these guys prior to the injury of even getting to this point where Sean Clifford was indispensable. A lot of people view a quarterback who's not, you know, doing the job well as the most dispensable player on the roster. They want to see the next guy. So Clifford has really undergone a pretty dramatic transformation. And I think Mike Yurcich, the job that he's doing with Clifford is one that really a very select few are able to do with the quarterback. So I think, you know, in general, having Mike Yurcich here and in that position really bodes well for the future, whoever the quarterback is. And, you know, with us not knowing what Clifford's status is for Illinois and beyond, you know, you can really look at maybe this 2 weeks that Taequann Roberson will presumably get a lot of reps. And it's hard to believe that we won't see a dramatically improved Taequann Roberson if he is the guy against Illinois.
I agree with you. And I'm not sure that Roberson getting a few more reps and games against Ball State and Villanova would have changed the fact that he just appeared overwhelmed going in against Iowa. The game looked too fast for him, and I think it's that first game being thrown into of importance that's what happened to him. And I'm with you. I fully expect him to be a much better prepared, much more ready quarterback. It doesn't mean that they don't need Clifford back come Ohio State, but I think we'll see a much better version of Roberson. But you mentioned about, you know, Clifford performing so well with Yurcich. I think Yurcich also able to find ways to get the ball to his playmakers or his wide receivers, Dotson, Lambert Smith, Parker Washington. The tight ends are getting a bit in there also. But you got to look at this. Oh, the other part was the offensive line does a pretty good job in pass protection. Now we've got to look at the other side of this offense, though, Dustin, which is the offensive line doesn't appear to be making holes for them, for the running backs. The running backs don't seem to be able to get anything on their own. And the tight ends, who they're playing two and three tight ends at a time, who are often asked to be those that lead blocker, they're not doing the job blocking either, which surprises me after last season. I thought they did a real good job blocking. So where does that leave us, especially if we're going to be using this backup quarterback, Taquan Roberson?
Well, I mean, a lot of the answers will come Saturday against Illinois, but I guarantee this was a big-time emphasis for James Franklin and his staff, as they now have the opportunity not to shift from one game into specific planning for the next opponent. They get this week to do a little bit of self-scouting and maybe make some more macro adjustments on this offense. I don't know what they're going to come out with in terms of their adjustments. I don't think we will see much change along the offensive line. I think there's just going to be a challenge there to be more physical and to just play better. I don't know that we'll see a great big personnel change there. I think, you know, at the running back position, you know, you do have right now, you know, four or five guys who are, you know, all incomplete running backs, and you're trying to mix and match them to make one whole one. And sometimes that process can go really, really well. Sometimes, as we're seeing now, it's just not going all that great. I've been a proponent. I still am a proponent of maybe trying to let one guy get into more of a rhythm in the game. I think Kevon Lee is the closest thing to being a complete back right now. Maybe 2 weeks is enough to get Noah Kane back to 100% health or something close to it, and be a little bit more quick. Maybe they'll make some changes in how they deploy these guys. But, you know, to me, I mean, something's got to give here. I think one of the things that we saw most recently was the utilization of the quarterback as a threat in the run game. We started to see that a little bit more from Sean Clifford before he got hurt. We'll see if that continues and if there's any personnel changes to make. What are they going to find when they look at themselves a lot harder on tape? It's tough to say because all these facets have to come together. And now I think in this situation, all these facets deserve some blame for not being better at this point.
Might we see, you mentioned the decision to say, here's our lead dog, here's our lead guy, maybe that's Kevon Lee. Might they say, you know what, Noah Kane isn't healthy. He's not what he was in 2019, not the same back. Kevon Lee's been given a bit of a chance, hasn't shown. Might we go to option 4 or 5? Might we see actually Devin Ford or your guy, Keziah Holmes, actually get some carries?
I don't think it would be the worst thing at all. At the very least, I think you can maybe look at this and say, you know what, Noah Kane is our short yardage guy. You know, third down, third and short, you know, maybe a little bit more situational until he's more healthy than what he is. He showed, you know, early in the season in that Wisconsin game that he can be a factor in the passing game. So you can use him in, you know, several different ways. I do think Kevon Lee, you know, what helped him in the second half of last year when he really emerged and led the team in rushing was that he had an opportunity. He had leash and he was getting a lot of touches at a time. He was able to work himself into the rhythm of the game. I think he misses that a little bit. But I don't think they would be making a mistake at all to really reassess and do something a little bit more radical than that. I really like Keziah Holmes, and I think it's a matter of time until we see him kind of unleashed in this offense. My faith is starting to shake a little bit that it's going to be this season, but we'll see. Maybe tape will reveal something. Maybe he's done something really good behind the scenes in practice. Clearly he needs to capture the coaching staff's trust.
The thing here, though, Dustin, is what do you have to lose by changing things at running back? It's been a disaster to this point. And I don't think you could put it all on the offensive line, all on the running backs. It could be, you know, the tight ends are part of this also. So changing things up, how does that hurt you when the performance has been so poor with Noah Kane, Kevon Lee, the way you're doing it right now doesn't work. That's what we know from the first six games, right?
It is, but you know, at the same time, if there's ball security issues or if there's preparation issues or if these guys aren't practicing well, I mean, you can go further south from here. It might not feel like it in this moment, but if you're starting to put guys in there that you can't trust in key situations, then you start to really understand what it means to like protect the football, for example. So it is hard for me to believe that James Franklin's going to go away from this group of veterans. Maybe it's just you need all these pieces to play better, but including the running back. I think, you know, the reasonable thing I think to do is to make a deeper commitment to Kevon Lee and see what this kid can do for your offense. Give him a chance to work out the minus one and the no gain type runs and get into the flow of the game. What do you have to lose there? It's a little bit more radical to put guys in there that the coaching staff clearly doesn't trust to handle the ball that often.
What I do think we'll see is something different, though. Where will that confidence go? Maybe you're just starting all over again with these 2 weeks and saying, guys, it's an open position. Who has the best 2 weeks of practice? Because the guys who've been out there, including Noah Cain, and we haven't mentioned John Lovett, and I think he was dinged up a little bit, as was Devin Ford, but I just open up the position and say, I'm going to base who gets playing time on how you do these next 2 weeks. Guys, go at it. Let's see who wants it the most.
I think the responsibility, just to, you know, to glean from your point, the responsibility of managing five running backs is a lot easier when multiple of them, you know, maybe even as many as all five, are playing really, really well. It's the solution is less straightforward if you have all five of them showing some cracks in their game right now. Now what do you do as a coaching staff? Do you stick with the five guys and keep working it? They got to make some kind of change. I can't really say to predict what that change is. I think it's the simplest thing is to really go back to the fundamentals with the offensive line and have them start to take a little bit more pride in finishing blocks and being physical up front. The next step for me is to unleash Kevon Lee and get him more volume, more consistent volume, especially early in games, so he feels like he's part of it. And then everything else kind of you adjust from there. Those are the two things that I think are the easiest fixes right now.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it your way. My way, Dustin, the other thing that's pretty easy is when none of them are taking the bull by the horns. So it's a lot easier to say, Noah Cain, you haven't been doing the job. Kevon Lee, not doing the job, so I'm going to go another way. Dustin, that's it for quarter number two and our offensive review for midseason. Stick around quarter number three. We're going to talk defense.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.